Well, this week God changed, God kind of threw me a screwball and he changed the message on me. And in your bulletin it said that we're going to be talking about discipleship and relational transformation. But as I was, putting this together, the thoughts were coming and God just wasn't piecing things together. So Pastor Kevin texted me yesterday and said, hey, how things are going? How are things going? And I said, this thing is just giving me some trouble. So he said, and I want to read it. He said, this happens to me sometimes. And he said, the Holy Spirit has a message for you to share. And when this happens to me, he says, it usually takes me listening for his voice, leaving what I have, and have to hear what he has. And so, thank you, Pastor Kevin, for saying that. So I left what I had. I had about 3 pages of notes, and nothing was coming together the way God wanted me to happen. And so I left what I had, and God just said, I just want you to talk about this one verse. And so today we're just going to talk about John 17:17. So if you turn to the book of John with me, we can all follow along together. John 17, chapter 17, verse 17. Heavenly Father, would you, as we dive into your word, as we talk about what you prayed for us and what you prayed for those who would follow you, Lord, would you speak to our hearts and would you allow your word to be loud in our hearts? Speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. So, in John 17, Jesus prays his high priestly prayer. He prays this prayer, and in the night before he died, and he just asks a few things from the Father. And in verse 17, he's praying for his disciples, but he's also praying for those who would come after him, those who would believe in him after his disciples and after he is gone. And one thing that really struck me when I saw this, and God said He wants us to talk about this today, is that He's praying for us, and He's saying, make them pure and make them holy by teaching them your words of truth. And the way He prays, the way I see that He's praying, His final prayer, asking His Father to make us pure, make us holy by teaching us the words of truth. It's like a future husband praying for his future wife, saying, God, would you make her pure? Would you reserve her? Would you purify her? Would you make her set apart? Would you hold her for me? And would you teach her about who I am? Teach her about your words of truth. It reminds me of how a young man would pray for his future bride, and it's a prayer of preservation, a prayer of expectation. And so I'm going to ask you, when you read the Word of God, do you read it with expectation? Do you read it with expecting God to transform you, to be transformed by the Word of God? Do you read it expecting to encounter His faithful love? Do you expect to hear the words that God spoke to you before you were even born? Before the foundation of the world, He was thinking about you. He had thoughts about you. Before the world was even created. Have you ever thought about that? And lastly, do you expect to encounter the power and the presence of the living God as His words flow like a river through your soul? I remember the first time that I fell in love with the scripture. I was a teenager, and Pastor Kevin was actually my youth pastor. That's what he said. He's known me for a long time. He was my youth pastor, and in seventh grade, I remember him teaching about just this rhythm of this meditation, daily meditation on the Word of God. And so I said, okay, well, I don't like mornings. So I don't like waking up in the morning. So I'm going to read the Word of God right before I go to bed. And so I decided right before I went to bed as a seventh grader, I was going to start reading the Word of God. And so I read, and lots of times I'd wake up with a Bible on my chest and I'd fall asleep as I was reading. But I remember as the more I read, the more that I dove into Him and I had this daily meditation on the Scriptures, the more I expected God to do something. Because I knew that God's Word was doing something, but the more I read it, the more I expected Him to show up. And I expected to encounter this power and presence that He says He offers us through His Word and through His Spirit. And as the psalmist said, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longed after you. My soul was eventually longing after God and after His Word and after what He wants to say to me in that moment where I picked up His Word. In John 17, Jesus, like I said, Jesus is praying for His disciples, but He's also praying for those who would believe in Him after He and the disciples were gone. These are the people who would make a decision to follow Jesus and to accept God's forgiveness through Christ's sacrificial death. There's an amazing transaction that happens after someone accepts Christ and the sin that once filled their life, Jesus takes away. He takes away that sin so that we can have life in Him. And the death that we used to walk in, like Ephesians 2 says, we are dead in our transgressions and our trespasses. And so He gave us, instead of the death we walked in, He gave us the life. And we are no longer owned by the world. We're owned by Christ. And He transforms us and gives us a thirst for Him, for more of Him, and for more of His Word. When we apply His words to our life in the daily meditation, that word, it purifies us. Just like what Jesus prayed. He prayed that we would be purified and made holy by teaching us the words of truth. And as this word purifies our minds and our hearts, it makes us whole, sets us apart, sanctifies us. And the amazing thing about that is that when we read the word in and of ourselves, we don't really understand it. Like, we don't really understand what God is really saying. Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes and He's our helper, and He helps us to understand what the Word of God is saying. And He rakes up all those things that pollute our minds, things that lead us down trails and pathways that allow us to think evil thoughts and think things that are destructive. And He rakes up those things that propel us to tear people down with the words that we say. And so the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God for a lot of different things. But the first thing that He does is He uses the Word of God to point out sin in our own life. Now, in our hearts and our minds, we create pathways that lots of times lead to places where only we in our own power know how to get to. And in our own power, we get to places that are without God. Sinful places. And sinful ways that lead us away from God. And those pathways lead to sin. And so we need new pathways. And so we don't know how to create them. We don't have the power to create them. So the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to set new paths in our hearts and in our minds. And these paths lead to glorifying God. These paths lead us to help build people up and say things that will encourage them instead of saying things that will tear them down. And these pathways, they allow us to think the thoughts that are glorifying to God as well. And so when we think thoughts in these new pathways are not thoughts of lust or of jealousy or greed or anything that the world promotes. But instead, we think thoughts that are encouraging to our own souls and encouraging to the people around us. We think thoughts that are glorifying to God. We think of the amazing things that God has done for us and rescued us from. The Word of God is an amazing thing. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, the Word of God is living and active. He's living and active. He's willing to meet us where we're at. He's willing to meet us in our deepest pain. Willing to meet us in our greatest joy and greatest fearless. He's willing to meet us in our greatest drought. Our longest drought away from His Word. The Word of God is willing to meet us right there. To call us back to the One who loves us, who saved our souls. It also says the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword and penetrates even to dividing our soul and our spirit. So it has authority over our innermost thoughts and desires. Not only that, it says that it divides joints and marrow. So like our bones and our muscles and our elbows and our brains and our toes, the Word of God has authority over our bodies. Have you ever thought of that? Not only do when we read the Word of God, is the Word of God transforming our hearts and our minds, but it's also having authority over our own bodies. So we just talked about, Pastor Kevin talked about healing. The healing that Jesus offers us. He is our healer. but the Word of God has authority over our bodies to bring us healing, to bring us wholeness. It's God's Word. It's powerful. It has authority over so many things. And last, it says that it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts. It serves as a litmus test for the deepest parts of who we are, to hold us in check, to keep our hearts right before God. So when we travel through life and all the things bombard us as far as what happens at work, as far as what things we see on TV and hear through the media that leads us away from thinking the way that God wants us to think, the Word of God fences our hearts in, saying, this is who I made you to be. I made you to be a child of God. That thinks things and says things that glorifies our Father. So the Word of God points out sin in our lives. It also motivates us to confess our sins. And that's an amazing thing. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And also 1 John 1:9 says, but if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have a good God who's given us an amazing word to encourage us to confess our sins, both to God and also to the people around us. We have a great community here. We have communities set up with this. We want to do this so we can encourage each other, but also we can have intimate gatherings where we say, you know, this is what I'm struggling with. I need to confess this to you. There's a freedom that happens when we confess those things. There's a freedom that happens when we bear our souls before the people around us and bear our souls before the living God. When we are forgiven of our sins when we accept Christ as our Savior and as our Lord, but the weight of sin still stays in our heart until we confess. That's why the author of Hebrews says, let us, when we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, people, great people who have gone before us, great people of faith, but also people right around us, people who encourage us. It says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily entangles us. When we confess our sins, it frees us from the burden of sin, frees us from the weight of sin. God has forgiven us if we believe in Him, if we accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. There's a freedom that happens when we confess it. When I was in college, there was a conference that came through our campus, and it was led by one of the professors at the time, and he was a pastor and was a counselor, and it was a numerous conference. And he talked about the authority of the Scripture. He talked about how we can have freedom in Christ. Freedom from the sins that weigh us down. Freedom from the burden of sin in our own hearts. Freedom to live the way that God calls us to live. And so he encouraged us through the reading of Scripture, through worship. And then at the end of the conference, because it's up to the goal, he invited all the men up on stage, and then he invited all the women up on stage one at a time, and that was each group at a time. And he invited us because of the power of the Holy Spirit, because of the power that is available to us in freedom of confession. He invited us to confess the sins that have burdened our heart and the way it's done. Now he said that if God wants you to confess something in your heart, that you would start getting hot and start getting warm, you'd probably start sweating, and oh my goodness, I never felt so warm in my life. Sweat started pouring down my face, and I was like, God, I don't want to do this in front of everyone. I don't want to do this. But you know, I've been in accountability groups, and I had an accountability partner, and I had someone that I was even discipling. We were going through accountability material, and we'd always talked about the sin in our lives, and we'd always talked about that, but I realized at that point, I had never confessed that. I never confessed that. And so the Holy Spirit placed this burden on my heart, and He said, if you want freedom. And so for the first time in my life, in front of probably 100, maybe 200 people at the time, which I really didn't want to do, I confess that I have been struggling with lust. I confess the deepest part of something that I've been hiding for a long time. I talked about it with my accountability partner, but that weight of sin, and God has forgiven me from it. But the weight of that sin was on my heart, burdening me and eating me away. And the freedom that happened when I confessed, I couldn't even open my eyes because sin had placed so much shame in my heart. But I confessed it, and immediately that weight lifted. I turned around and I saw the first friend that I knew, and I bawled because I never felt such freedom. Jesus prayed in John 17:17, make them pure and holy by teaching them the words of truth. There's freedom and there's purity and there's holiness available to us when we follow God in obedience to confession. It's terrifying because you don't want people to know what's really going on inside. God knows. He knows even before you do. Make them pure and holy by teaching them your words of truth. The Word of God also offers an opportunity for us to renew our relationship with Him on a daily basis. He offers that opportunity to us to renew that. After the Word of God, the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to point out sin in our lives and to encourage us and motivate us to confess our sins, He offers us the opportunity to renew our relationship with Him. Every time we pick up the Word of God, He gives us the opportunity to enter His presence and to hear from the Creator of the universe. To hear what He thinks about you. Remember, He's had thoughts about you before even the world was created. Thoughts about you. That's amazingly personal, that I think we forget a lot of times when we go through our days that He has thoughts about you. And He prayed for you thousands of years ago that we would be pure and holy. It's like a love letter. I've heard that a lot of people say, and I think Pastor Kevin even said to me when I was in youth group, it's like a love letter. The Word of God is like a love letter that the father writes his son, or like he writes his daughter. The love letter explains the extent to which the father would go to show his children that he loves them. He tells them that I would die for you. And then he did. Die for you to take all the things that separate the father, the love of the father from the children, and he died for them to take away that sin. But he didn't stay dead. He rose again, victorious over the thing that separated his children from him. And now we have the privilege of entering boldly into the presence of God. Every time we pick up the Word, every time we enter into prayer, knowing that our relationship with God is secure. And our position with God is with Christ. That's amazing. Our position is no longer as sinners, as people who are away from the Lord. If we have accepted Christ as our Savior and as the Lord, our position is with Christ. And where is Christ right now? He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God, expectantly awaiting the return of His bride. Amen. We are in the throne room of the King every time we open His Word, every time we enter into prayer. Jesus prayed, make them holy by teaching them your words of truth. The Lord desires holiness and purity for you. He offers it to you through the Word of God. And so I encourage you to reach out and take it. Take the Word. Enter into daily meditation of the Word of God. It purifies you. It makes you whole. Meditate on His words. They lead to life, they lead to purity, they lead to holiness. And we have the freedom of being able to confess our sins to one another. I really encourage you this week to think about that. Think about who I need to confess my sins to. Who I need to enter into confession and accountability. I'm available. Pastor Kevin's word, trusted people. I'm going to pray for us as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and faithfulness to us. God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you have thoughts about us even before the world began, even before we were conscious of who you were and how much you loved us. Father, we thank you that you give us your word to meditate on daily and the opportunity to be in your throne room and to partake in your presence. Father, as we go throughout this week, would you remind us of your word? Would you remind us that your word purifies us in our souls and makes us holy, to set us apart away from this world? Lord, open our eyes to see the people that we need to confess our sins to. Open our eyes and open our hearts, Lord, to being able to confess our sins to you as well. God, you are faithful and you are just to forgive us, Lord, of those sins. So, Father, we love you, Lord, and we give this day to you.